Britain's relationship with India in the 18th and early 19th centuries, I suppose, dominated by two paradoxes. First of all, the fact that the mechanism by which the British acquire territory in India is a commercial organisation, a company. And one, the first paradox is that it's the East India Company, not the British state formally, which is the sovereign of large areas of Indian territory by the early 19th century. The second paradox, though, is that whilst in the early half of the 18th century, the East India Company is a profit-making organisation which returns a handsome profit for its shareholders in Britain, as it begins to acquire territory, as it begins to become not just a trader but a sovereign, it begins to lose money. And, you know, kind of by the last quarter of the 18th century, the East India Company needs to be bailed out by the British taxpayer a number of times. So the second paradox is that a commercial organisation is profitable whilst it sticks to commerce, but as it begins to expand into political relations with India, as it begins to acquire territory which it taxes, administers justice to, and keeps what it perceives as the rule of law, it becomes less and less profitable for Britain. What one needs to bear in mind when thinking about the kind of process by which the British come to rule over India is the quite chaotic and unplanned nature of the process. In the 18th century, Britain certainly possessed strong ideas about the importance of empire, and empire was an important part of what it meant to be British. But there weren't clear notions, a clear intention to govern India as a colony at the beginning of the process of conquest. Conquest happened as a result of a complex series of dynamics and relationships that occurred between Britons themselves, between different groups of British traders, government officials, missionaries and others, and Indian politicians and Indian states. Let me start with the reasons why the British are in India to begin with. The primary concern throughout the kind of 17th and early 18th century is trade. In the early 17th century, the East India Company was founded to trade predominantly with Southeast Asia, and Southeast Asia is somewhere as a potential site for the export of British goods, in particular perhaps wool, and for the import of spices is the primary concern. And throughout the 17th and early 18th century, British interests move from Southeast Asia, from what's now the Indonesian archipelago, to India. And in the process, kind of the British interests shift towards the search for, in particular, cotton products to import for a growing consumer market in Britain. It's British trade in cotton goods with India that drives the process of increasing interest in India. And it's that attempt to make profit from trade with India, from the textile trade, which drives the process of expansion. But the trade alone can't explain why the British ended up conquering territory. As well as Britain's commercial interests in the textile trade and trade in India, one needs to add kind of three factors, I think, that can help us explain why the East India Company went from being a commercial organisation to being a sovereign, and went from being a kind of profitable trading organisation to being a loss-making sovereign. First of all, British conflict with other European powers, in particular France. Secondly, the complex financial relationship with East India Company's Indian partners. And thirdly, I think something that's slightly less concrete than those two things, but the British attitudes towards the Indian merchants and rulers who they had to engage with. And I'll suggest that actually one of the most important factors in leading to British political domination in India is a British mood of mistrust towards Indian sovereigns.